What is going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Ant and Big Red vs. the World. As always, I'm Big Red.
And as always, I'm Average Ant.
And once again, we have a good show for you today. It's definitely going to be shorter than our last one. For those of you that bared with our hour-plus-long NBA segment, we thank you, we love you, and we love the NBA. Ant, you want to tell us a little about what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, so like Big Red said, we're keeping it short, but we do have a ton of topics to kind of go over. I mean, the main ones, Kareem Hunt signing with the Browns. We got Antonio Brown formally requesting a trade. Kyler Murray officially declaring his focus on football. And a little Jeremy Lin to the Raptors. So we got all that. And plus, we also have a couple of Big Red busts and ballers and some honorable mentions too. So definitely a lot of content. With that kind of said, we can kind of get into it.
Yeah, and so like Ant said, a ton of content, but we're going to try and keep it in a nice, neat little package for y'all. And so diving right in, Kareem Hunt, not even suspended yet, put on the commissioner's exempt list not even a few months ago. And already, after being cut by the Chiefs, is back in the NFL, signing a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns worth $1 million plus. It's higher than the league minimum. There's some incentives and things based off how much he actually plays, which we'll have to wait and see because, as I said, he's on the commissioner exempt list, and as long as he's on that exempt list, he's unable to participate in any team activities, events, games, anything like that. And he will remain on that commissioner exempt list until the league hands him a suspension, which Ian Rappaport reported is coming. So Kareem Hunt, back in the NFL, he's got a second chance. We're kind of waiting to see whether or not he's going to play. Ant, what's your take?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that the Browns kind of said was that he deserves a second chance, which is something, I mean, I agree with. Obviously, I don't take domestic violence lightly. Kind of don't really want to get into that because that's kind of like not our type of content on this show. But just real quick, like the context kind of behind his situation is a little different than that of like a Ray Rice type thing. So, I mean, with that being said, we'll just kind of keep it football related. So, I mean, like you said, Ian Rappaport says the suspension is coming. The contract that he signed doesn't factor in the suspension yet. So it's a one-year deal worth more than $1 million. I mean, bonuses, like you said. And then after this year, he'll be a restricted free agent. So that's kind of big for the Browns. I mean, the Browns have probably, with this addition, I'd say a top-tier running back core, at the very least, top-tier running back core with all they got back there. And I think, is Kareem Hunt from Ohio? I think he is.
I am not sure on that one.
Well, anyway, if he is, if he isn't, if he is, it's cool for the Browns to sign him. Bringing him back home. Cleveland, I'm coming home. Or Cleveland, this is for you. Whatever. So, I mean, it's good to see him back. Or good to see him back on paper. I mean, obviously, he's going to serve some sort of suspension. Knowing the NFL, we can't really expect what the suspension is going to be. So, I mean, with that kind of said, how do you think he'll fit with the Cleveland Browns and their running back core and the offense that they have going into next season?
I mean, it's at the end of the day, like you said, we'll put the domestic violence issues aside. We'll let the NFL handle that. We'll let the bigger wigs kind of talk about that stuff. And from a pure football standpoint, anytime you can add a player of Kareem Hunt's caliber, you're doing a good thing for your team. Since coming into the league, he's racked up almost 300 yards from scrimmage and 25 touchdowns in 27 games in less than two seasons. He's a phenomenal player, and like I said, any team is getting better by adding Kareem Hunt to your roster. The kind of weird thing for me, though, is, like you mentioned, they already have a pretty good running back core. Nick Chubb showed to be pretty legit last year. Obviously doesn't have the pass-catching chops that maybe they want, but they have Duke Johnson as well, who's been a good third-down running back in the league for a while now, just kind of pandering around on terrible Browns teams. So it's going to be interesting to see. I will kind of, depending on how much they like Duke Johnson, I don't know how long he's going to be there. I could see the Browns maybe moving him in replace of Kareem Hunt, because Kareem Hunt can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's proven to be one of the best backs in the league at catching the ball out of the backfield, and so Kareem Hunt will overtake Duke Johnson's roles in that regard, and Kareem Hunt can also run the ball. So, I mean, it could be a nasty two-headed monster like the Saints have with Kamara and Mark Ingram, and I'm sure that's what the Browns are hoping for with their budding young quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and obviously we got to wait for the suspension to see what might actually happen on the football field.
Yeah, I mean, barring the suspension being a whole season, which, I mean, I highly doubt, but like I said before, you can't really rule out anything when it comes to the NFL and their suspensions.
Yeah,
but kind of touching on what you were saying, I mean, I completely agree with that. Any team that adds Kareem Hunt is going to instantly get better. I mean, he's a dual threat running back, can really do anything you need him to. And in this day of age in the NFL where running backs are more now being forced to catch passes more than they were in the past, Kareem Hunt is definitely top tier in that. So, I mean, having that with a second-year quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who he has confidence for sure, but, I mean, he's not at the confidence level of, like, a Tom Brady or whatever, where he's not 100% confident in taking, like, all these shots down the field. So having someone he can kind of check down to a little bit and give the ball to create and extend plays like a Kareem Hunt is super big for him and his development. And it's a confidence booster, too. It's good knowing that if a play breaks down, if you don't see anybody open down the field, you have a guy that you could just dump it off to, and he could get you a first down plus more on any given play.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something to be said about Kareem Hunt being in the Chiefs offenses, which have been very good in his two seasons there. But there's also something to be said about Kareem Hunt making those offenses legit. I know Damian Williams stepped in last year for the Chiefs and performed well, but not quite on the same dual threat aspect that Kareem has throughout his career. So it's definitely going to be something fun to watch. And assuming you can get over the kind of hurdles of Kareem Hunt's second chance, and we'll see how the NFL develops and when that suspension comes down.
Yep. So I hope it's not a whole season suspension, but it's pretty much a crapshoot. Suspensions.
We really have no idea. We could absolutely see him suspended for a year. We could see him suspended for 2 years. We could see him suspended for 6 games. I mean, that's how bad the NFL is at handling things like this. And this is kind of the direction that everybody knew it was going to take. Kareem Hunt was going to get his second chance. To me, at least, it happened a little bit earlier than I expected. But on that commissioner exempt list, I mean, he was going to be stuck out of the NFL and with no suspension until somebody signed him. So Cleveland took a chance, and props to them.
Yeah, I mean, they're not losing really anything at all by signing him. So, I mean, it's pretty much a win-win situation kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, win-win for both sides. And no loss for the Browns, because if he doesn't work out, you still got Nick Chubb like we're talking about. And going from one kind of win-win situation to another, let's jump on to Kyler Murray officially announcing that he will be going the route of the NFL. What do you got to say about that, Ant?
Well, it's no surprise here. I mean, it was really a matter of time.
And no surprise to us.
Yeah, wasn't a matter of is he going to, it's a matter of when he's going to. Yep. So he puts out a tweet, it's like a picture or whatever, saying that he's going to focus all of his attention on being an NFL quarterback. And so, yeah, he's just focusing on the NFL, pretty much dropping baseball, which was really the choice. I mean, he couldn't really play both. So with that kind of setup, what are your initial thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was kind of a foregone conclusion, at least in our minds. The NFL was clearly the better route. Kyler's kind of actions since winning the Heisman were along those same lines, and I'm happy he's making the right decision. I mean, at the end of the day, whether it works out, whether he becomes the Hall of Fame caliber quarterback I'm sure he wants to be or not, is kind of irrelevant. For him personally, it's a great choice, and I'm excited for whatever team gets to draft him. He said in that kind of quote picture that he put out that he started an extensive training program to further prepare himself for NFL workouts. To me, at least, that's something that I think is pretty important. That is 5'10", 195-pound frame. I mean, the biggest concern is obviously size and durability comes with size concerns, and so that I'm hoping that extensive training program, something to have him put on a little bit of weight and muscle mass for these workouts, show some NFL scouts that he can be durable, be a good QB in the NFL. One kind of comparison I had to that is Russell Wilson, 5'11", 216 now. When he entered the combine, he's 5'11", 204 pounds. So, I mean, just a little bit bulkier, and that's kind of all I'm thinking it needs to be, is just Kyler Murray kind of clocks in somewhere around 200, 205. I think that NFL teams would be a little less apprehensive about his size just because they know he can work and put on that mass if he needs to.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good thing that he's coming after Russell Wilson, because I mean, even a 5'11 200 pound quarterback is still kind of a kind of thing when you're thinking about drafting him. But then Russell Wilson coming out and just being as dominant as he has been, and really he's like the Seahawks Iron Man, so he doesn't miss much games, so
never
if he misses
game,
any
man.
At all. So yeah. Thanks to Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray's kind of in a situation where he only has to put on another 5-10 pounds to be considered durable. And I mean, it's something I feel like he'll easily be able to do. Just kind of based on baseball, I feel like why he wasn't in that 200 type class was because he was playing baseball. And yeah, like you said, he had to be a speed guy. So I mean, in the NFL, he doesn't have to be as fast. He's not going to, although his athleticism is nice and stuff, I feel like it's definitely better to be at 200, 205 and lose a tiny bit of athleticism to kind of guarantee you'll be on the field more often. So I think he'll definitely get there. When he does, a lot of question marks will kind of be erased off of his name. One of the funnier things that I saw was a quote. I don't remember who it was from, but they said he's going to need to be getting with quarterback coaches and all this because he hasn't been training to be a quarterback the last 4 years. But completely forgetting that he won the Heisman as a quarterback. I get he's a dual threat kind of guy, and he did break off a lot of his kind of Heisman moments were on the ground. But I mean, if you look at him as a pure passer, he's not a terrible passer. So, I mean, like, I get where the kind of narrative of a dual threat quarterback comes from. I mean, you see it with Cam Newton, too, who is not the most accurate quarterback, but is more than capable of being a pocket passer if his legs were cut off or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned that, as I'll just pop in for a second. I think that, like you said, losing a little bit of speed, while it might take away from his uber athleticism that everyone's fallen in love with through his Heisman season, but at the same time, what NFL scouts want to see is your ability to pass out of the pocket, because that's what they drool over and that's what they like. And so putting on a little bit of weight, sacrificing a little bit of speed might be a step in the direction of, I'm going to be focused as pass first, run when I can because I can, and make explosive plays if I need to, but I'm here in the long term as a passing quarterback, like a guy like Russell Wilson has previously proven that running just really complements his passing extremely well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Russell Wilson mold is pretty much what Kyler Murray's trying to fit here. So kind of a shout out, but not a shout out to the Ace, because they're still kind of delusional that Kyler Murray's going to still come play for them. They're still hopeful, I guess, even though kind of entering for the draft itself was kind of the nail in the coffin. And I mean, now this quote, sad day for the A's. I mean, you don't want to see your top 10 draft pick switch sports on you, but I guess they just need to move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real bummer. I really doubt the A's were expecting to see Kyler Murray rip off a Heisman-like season, but he did. And one of the things he did after he announced that change is he hired agent Eric Burkhart, which is kind of the last thing I want to mention on Kyler. So after his decision to pursue the NFL, he hires Burkhart. Interesting thing about this is Burkhart also represents Arizona head coach Cliff Kingsbury, who said back in October that he would take Kyler Murray number one overall if he could. Well, here you are, Cliff Kingsbury, head of the Arizona Cardinals now, with the number one overall pick in the draft. You got Josh Rosen. We're going to kind of see how much he believes in him as we go through this draft process. I think it would be a crazy, crazy crazy development if Kyler went to Arizona. I don't even necessarily think it's the best fit for him, but something to keep in mind, especially now that they're under the same agency and the kind of history that's there. I mean, it's almost like there should be tampering, you know?
Yeah, I mean, tampering is something we might get into later. But it seems like they're definitely in cahoots over there. But, well, I guess we'll have to see. Like you said, they do have Josh Rosen, which who they drafted last year. And, I mean, it isn't typical for a terrible NFL team to give up on their first-round draft pick quarterback after 1 year, no matter how terrible he was. And Josh Rosen wasn't terrible, I guess, by any stretch of the imagination. He just wasn't too good. But one year isn't really enough time for them to give up on. But I mean, if he's in love with Kyler Murray, we might see a trade. So they could trade Josh Rosen, stay in that one spot, take him, or maybe even trade back, trade Josh Rosen, trade back, get another pick or two, something in the later round, and then draft Kyler Murray around like the 5 spot or something like that. I don't know, but hopefully they don't. I'm hoping the Raiders are able to get him, because once they draft him, I'll have my Kyler Murray Raiders jersey on order. So,
yeah, I mean, just for you, man, I kind of hope that happens. I think Kyler Murray's going to be fun to watch wherever he goes. And once again, speaking of where somebody might go, we're touching on Antonio Brown, who officially requested a trade with a tribute video today on Instagram, kind of basically thanking Steelers Nation for his time there, and has now formally requested that trade to be out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, like the Kyler Murray situation, this was kind of something that wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. So no surprise or shock that he came out and requested this trade, because like I said, we all pretty much knew that it was going to happen. Unfortunately, pretty much marks the end, even if he doesn't get traded, which, I mean, if the Steelers are smart, they will trade him. But it marks the end of the killer bee failed experiment, or the 3 Bs, whatever you want to call them. Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. In my opinion, the biggest flop of offense in history of the NFL, because, I mean, yeah, arguably the best running back and wide receiver in the league, and then a more than serviceable quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. I kind of have a disdain to him, so I won't call him elite, but he's more than capable at the very least. So kind of with that set up, I guess what are your initial thoughts kind of on him coming out and formally requesting a trade?
I mean, I thought it was good. I really like how he put out the tribute video thanking Steeler Nation, just kind of really trying to show love to the city, which I hope they will reciprocate. You always hate when stars leave and they get hit with boos or dislike, assuming it's not warranted. We just talked about it with Anthony Davis, who even commented on it and was like, I'm going out there to play basketball. If they want to boo me, they can boo me. It's disrespectful, but whatever. So it's good that he came out with this video. I think Steelers fans are going to show him love, even though he wants to leave. So overall, from the standpoint, like you said, it was a matter of when, not if. So it was coming. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad that he thanked Steeler Nation again. And so now it's just kind of up to the logistics. Who wants a soon-to-be 31-year-old, but still considered an elite receiver, who's got an $18 and $19 million price tag for the next couple of years? The Steelers are hoping they can get some big for him. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I mean, with the age and price tag combination, I don't think the Steelers are going to get as much as they're kind of hoping for him. But I mean, I feel like any kind of team in contention that needs a boost on offense would be more than willing to trade for him. I mean, like you said, he's 31, so it really only applies to kind of win now teams. And kind of teams that pop up on my mind are maybe the Texans. Like, yeah, they have DeAndre Hopkins. But I mean, you can never have too many elite receivers, especially with a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. And they just released Demaryius Thomas, too, so that'd be dope. The Colts, like you kind of mentioned, when we did that Antonio Brown piece, being paired up with Andrew Luck, that'd be interesting. Seattle Seahawks, maybe. I don't see him going to Seattle anymore. It's a dark horse, but it'd be dope for sure. So, I mean, I really don't know where he's going to end up, if he even ends up anywhere. Who knows? But, I mean, kind of backtracking a little bit, I do also like how he kind of came out and announced this trade. It wasn't like the AD situation where his agent kind of broke the news and it was a shock or whatever. The way he did it was really nice. If I'm a Steelers fan, I appreciate it, even though it may not be ideal, obviously, seeing your star wide receiver requesting a trade, but it was respectful. I do expect he will be getting some boos if he comes back to Pittsburgh, but I mean, that's kind of just the Steelers history and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, Antonio Brown on the move, hopefully. Steeler Nation. So, I guess you have to hold that L, kind of.
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll just kind of move on and accept him for one of the greats that he was. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of Steeler way a little bit. I know it in Philly, too. That's definitely the Philly way.
Yeah.
But either way, Antonio Brown on the move. We'll see if he goes to a developmental team that kind of helps a young quarterback, or if he goes to a contender. I'm sure he'd rather go to the latter. And speaking of somebody joining a contender, we got Jeremy Lin to the Raptors, who is expected to be bought out by the Hawks on Monday's $13.8 million contract, and then is quickly expected to sign with the Toronto Raptors.
Jeremy Lin, definitely one of my favorite role players. I mean, after Linsanity, I feel like Melo kind of did him dirty and didn't really allow him to blossom into the player he could have been. But, I mean, even kind of building on that, I don't think he would have been a superstar player even if Melo didn't freaking throw a tantrum. But he's a really good role player and someone that I would always welcome on my bench. Definitely a great move for the Raptors to sign him and boost their bench a little bit. I'm expecting maybe probably 6-7 man. We'll see, I guess. The biggest kind of thing from here is that Jonas Valanciunas, or what I could probably slander that. I mean, I know his name. it doesn't roll off my tongue very well. but he was recently traded to the Grizzlies in the Marc Gasol trade, and he gave him permission to wear number 17. So a little feel-good story right there.
That's definitely nice. I think Jeremy Lin's going to be a really good addition for the Raptors. I think this is a huge win for them in the buyout market. As you mentioned, Valanciunas got traded over. Jeremy Lin is honored with the number. Another couple guys that got traded over with him were DeLon Wright and CJ Miles, which definitely weakened the Toronto's backcourt. And so Lin will definitely help with that. And on top of that, Fred VanVleet's out for 3 weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb. So suddenly the Raptors' endless depth became pretty thin in the backcourt. And so I think bringing in Jeremy Lin, who, like you said, never quite got to blossom after Linsanity. Shout out Melo, ruining teams even back in the day. no disrespect to Melo back in the day. But Jeremy Lin, I think Linsanity was awesome. I mean, I remember I wasn't even that huge into basketball at the time, but I still knew about Linsanity just because it was just pretty epic. So Lin's averaging 10.7 points, 3.5 assists, and 2.3 rebounds this year. I think he adds great rotational depth to any team that he's on, and he's definitely going to be a serviceable playmaker in the second unit. So I think this is a huge win for the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy win. They didn't have to give up anything, and they're getting a great bench piece in Jeremy Lin, who, for some reason, in the 2K algorithm, always comes out a sixth man of the year whenever you run a franchise or anything like that. Shout out to the Raptors. I mean, still making moves. It's obvious they're trying to win a championship, and this move definitely boosts that chance a little bit. Touching on Linsanity, Linsanity was super dope. I remember it happened around the time of Tebow Mania, and I hated Tebow Mania, but I loved Linsanity. So, if we could go back to 2012, that'd be dope. Jeremy Lin just balling out, getting victory royales night in, night out on the Knicks, and then Melo throwing a tantrum to kind of stop that. But back to the Raptors, huge win for them. I can't wait to see Jeremy Lin play in a Raptors uniform.
Definitely going to be really exciting. From there, Ant, you want to kick off an honorable mention or two?
Yeah, so I guess we'll kind of keep it on basketball from one kind of bench player to another. Isaiah Thomas reportedly can be back tomorrow for the Nuggets against the Kings, which was the team that drafted him, my favorite team, took him 60th overall and traded him away for some reason. But it'll be good to see IT back. I mean, after all he's been through with his hip and all that, being overly loyal to a team that wasn't loyal to him, I hope he comes back and balls out, because he missed out on $100 million playing through that hip. And that sucks. I just hope he comes back, and obviously I don't expect him to be back to his old self because he is up there in age a little bit. But I hope to see an IT that can still score the ball. And I mean, an IT that can score the ball is a great sixth man of the year candidate, because when you're sixth man, you're not really expected to play a ton of defense. So, I mean, defense, he can't play because he's 5'9", but he can still score the ball. So it'll be dope to see him back. I hope he balls out.
Yeah, absolutely. I love IT. It was a little tough to kind of watch the painful saga that was Boston to Cleveland to L.A., but definitely awesome to see him back. I hope he's as healthy as he's been in a while, and I'm excited for him.
Yep. So I guess I'll go to another honorable mention. Kind of got a handful of honorable mentions here. I guess I'll keep it on another short one. The Oakland Raiders, my favorite team, still don't have a place to play. So I guess it's kind of a dishonorable mention. Talks fell through with Levi's Stadium. 49ers don't want to play there. Talks fell through with AT&T Park. I know it's not called that anymore, but I know it as AT&T Park, which is San Francisco Giants field. So now I guess they're kind of opening talks again with Oakland Coliseum. So I don't know what's going to happen. I kind of hope the Coliseum kind of sticks them with this huge amount of rent to rent out the stadium. I mean, even though I understand why the Raiders can't play there, it'd just be kind of funny.
Yeah, it's in general, it's pretty funny that they're just kind of stuck without a place to play. And like, the city of Oakland is just probably just incredibly pissed off about the whole thing. It's like, you're leaving. We care. Like, yeah, sorry, we have a really bad stadium. It's just a whole fiasco. I mean, I saw something, we talked pre-show, I read something that was Alabama wants them to come play there. So, I mean, yeah, that would be an interesting dark horse to watch. But overall, help the Raiders. Find the Raiders a home, 2K19, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to go out and buy an Alabama Crimson Raiders jersey pretty soon here.
It's Kyler Murray.
But yeah, I guess bring the Raiders home somewhere. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to be. It could really be anywhere at this point, honestly. So with that being said, I'll move into my last honorable mention, which is the AAF. For those that don't know, it's the next NFL. It just debuted. They had their inaugural season start with their first couple of games a few days ago, and everything went really good. Everything from the broadcasting to what was put on the field, and even the officiating was pretty good. So, I mean, they're off to a good start. I mean, it'll be interesting to kind of see how this plays out with the XFL, who we did a piece on a little bit ago. So it'll be a possible merger, maybe, with the XFL and AAF. But, yeah, it's cool to see the AAF. If you don't know about them, it's a pretty legit league. They're backed by guys such as, like, Hines Ward, Troy Polamalu, Justin Tuck, Michael Vick, Kurt Warner. And they have ex-NFL players, NFL players that are trying to get back into the NFL, former college stars, all that. So it seems like a pretty legit league, and I can't wait till next year, honestly, when the XFL debuts, because they will be playing at the same time, in the same time span, anyway.
Yeah, so we did a whole episode on the XFL. Haven't talked much about the AAF, but yeah, it'd be something to watch as a good competition later on. Big Red is going for the Orlando Apollos. Coached by Steve Spurrier, former Heisman winner, former NFL coach. I mean, they opened it with a 40-6 win over the Atlanta Legends, so we're rolling good right now. It's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. I'm not expecting a whole lot, but their first few games have been good, clean football. I mean, it's kind of the Apollos blew out the Legends, and then there's a little bit of a closer game, but it'll be interesting to see how it develops. It's a good shout-out for sure.
Yeah, I definitely made up my mind on what team I'm going to back up, and that will be the Salt Lake Stallions. just because I think they're the closest. I mean, I could be wrong with the San Diego Fleet. I'm not sure how close they are, But I'm going with the Salt Lake Stallions. Their colorway is pretty dope too. They got kind of the blue on blue going. Kind of, I guess, if you know CBC, Columbia Basin College, which is the community college over here in Pasco, it's kind of similar to the colorway they got. So pretty dope, I guess. Roll Stallions.
Roll Stallions is right. You got any more honorable mentions?
No, that should do it for me.
All right, well, then I'll jump into my Big Red Baller. Just something quick. Not going to say a ton on it because he is not my favorite player in the league, but I do respect the things that Russ can do on the basketball court. And he has 10th straight triple-double, broke Wilt Chamberlain's record. Definitely a huge accomplishment. I mean, it's we could talk a little bit about, I mean, some people and the stat-driven numbers of Russ and how his teammates help him out get boards and things like that. At the end of the day, he's still averaging a triple-double on the season and putting up ridiculous numbers night in and night out, and however he's getting it done, he's getting it done. So gotta show respect to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, he was an honorable mention for me a while back because of how good he was playing. In my humble opinion, this is Russell Westbrook's best year of his career. The numbers may not reflect it, but if you're watching OKC right now, they're just running on all cylinders, and that in large part has to do with Russell Westbrook. I mean, obviously it helps having Paul George, who is making MVP push, but having Russ kind of step back a little bit on offense and let Paul George take over and kind of work around that has been huge for the Thunder, and I mean, it showed this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we kind of saw glimpses of this when Carmelo wasn't on the court with Russ and PG. And so, yeah, they're clicking on all cylinders, like you said, and it's been fun to watch, even if they did come back from 26 points down to beat my Rockets the other night. But, you know, we'll cry about that another day. Jump right onto my Big Red Bust. The league's tampering policy, I mean, it's a joke. We kind of mentioned a little bit earlier. There's a couple things that I saw this week that just blew my mind. The first one is Magic Johnson supposedly offering to like help out and work out with Ben Simmons in the offseason. And so the league investigated it and found nothing. I mean, Ben Simmons, a player whose profile has been repeatedly compared to Magic Johnson type, wants some mentorship or advice possibly from Magic Johnson himself. I mean, obviously there's not a lot you can do as Magic has his role with the Lakers, but I mean, like, this is what we're concerned about when in the league's tampering policy. It's a little silly, especially considering Simmons's positioning on the Sixers and the Sixers' positioning in the East. So, bust there. And then on top of that, the thing that really appalled me, well, I know it's not a huge fine for a general manager, but the Bucks general manager was fined $25,000 for this quote in response to a report that said Anthony Davis might want to play in Milwaukee. And he goes, "I saw that report and I think it's a little bit of what we want. We want players to come and play in Milwaukee, and part of it is when you're winning and you're setting a standard for excellence, people see that. People want to win. It doesn't make a difference if you're in Milwaukee, New York, or LA. The whole goal is winning. So we hope it would be players like Anthony Davis and others who want to come to Milwaukee." So he got fined for $25,000 for basically making a generic statement about how he thought it was pretty neat that a superstar in the NBA thought that Milwaukee was a good place to play. I think that's really frustrating, especially when it's probably in response to reporters constantly asking questions about it. And the league's tampering policy is a joke. It's been a joke. I mean, you saw Anthony Davis basically get forcibly fined because the Pelicans were mad that him and LeBron are friends. I mean, it's a joke. Big time Big Red Bust.
Yeah, I mean, if you could sum up the tampering policy in one word, it's silly. Like, in the span of 2-3 weeks, we saw no tampering ever at all enforced to everybody and their mom getting fined or investigated for tampering. I mean, it went from you could go have dinner, you could work out, and all this with other players. But now if you breathe in the same room as another player, talk to another player, even think about another player on a different team, you're being investigated. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know, It's a regression on the NBA's part because they have kind of been the competent league as compared to like the NFL and stuff. But this is definitely NFL-esque. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on over there in the NBA. They need to figure it out. It's it's driving their credibility down and their reputation down. So they need to figure out that whatever they think the ghost tampering situation that they got.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you said, most of the time the NBA sets a pretty great example, so it's a little confusing why this one's taken so long. But hopefully they'll right the ship eventually. You know, I'm still waiting on the banana boat fine.
Yeah, I know, me too, dude. I mean, it has to be at least investigated. I mean, I know Melo's not on the team right now, but
I think he might join the Lakers, and rumor has it him and LeBron might be friends. I don't know.
Well, someone will get fined $25,000 for that. But I guess before me and Big Red get fined by the NBA for tampering, I'll sign off. So this is Average Ant signing off, hoping to dodge a $25,000 fine from the NBA.
Indeed. I'll do my best to avoid that fine. Stay cooking to the fans. Big Red signing off.